I would like you to turn to Psalm 103. And we won't start there, but we will eventually get there. And what I have for you is a mix of a portion of my testimony along with what God is saying about the topic of praise. Everybody who has shared has actually already preached the message, so it's just kind of cool how the Holy Spirit reveals things to his people. And it's exciting. The title of this message is, Why Do I Praise? And frankly, it should probably be filed under spiritual warfare. And I should warn you, I get passionate, and those of you who know me know that. So, and that passion comes out sometimes in an intense manner. It is not me yelling at you. It is just this fire that burns so hot, it will come out. It'll come out in how I speak. It comes out in how I live. Whether it all looks pretty or not, it's hot and it's intense. So if I get intense, it's all for the sake of encouragement, not yelling. Okay? You know what, Gomez? Will you lead us in our prayer? If everybody has their word, lift it up.
Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I have everything it says I
have.
I
am everything it says I am.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about praise today. And this won't be an exhaustive definition of what praise is. And we're not even going to approach the topic of worship today because they're not the same. And I think we come in and we just think it's all the same. It's praise and worship. Praise is a fast song. Worship is a slow song. And that's the difference. That's not the difference. And today we're only going to talk about praise and how God has revealed the reality of praise and the importance of praise and how it relates to his word and his reality. And I'd like to start off with just a few questions for you to think about. You don't really have to answer. And I will go by my notes. Some of you guys walk around a lot. I'm going to stick to my notes because this is what God has given me and I need it. When you think about God's faithfulness, the fact that every day is new, you have breath in your lungs, you have a roof over your head, you have food on your table, you have clothes on your back, why would you not praise him? When you think about the fact that it's because he died for you and gave himself up for you, and because he rose, that your sins are forgiven and that you will live forever with him, why do you not praise him? When you think about the fact that he is the throne, he is the king on the throne, he has created heaven, he has created earth, he has created the universe, yet he has numbered every single hair on your head. Not one falls to the ground without his knowing which one it is. The fact that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why do you not praise him? You are redeemed. You are restored. You are forgiven. You are healed. You are safe. You are secure. You are sealed. You are adopted. Why do you not praise him? I can tell you why. It's because you forgot. You have forgotten about his benefits. You have forgotten the God who has saved you. You have forgotten who he is, what he has done, who he says you are, what he has called you to. We've forgotten. You know, I'm not much of a TV watcher, but I have to tell you, I'm becoming a Doctor Who fan. I really am. And this season's Doctor had a recent episode where I actually have to quote him because I wrote it down. He says, the human superpower is forgetting. If we remember how things felt, if we remember pain, then people would stop having babies and they would stop going to war. We forget. We forget. And I don't believe that it's a superpower. I believe forgetting is just a part of our human and even divine nature. I mean, God forgives our sins and chooses to remember them no more. Scripture even tells us that he hurls our iniquities into the depths of the sea of forgetfulness. He chooses not to remember. He remembers his covenant with his people, but we, his people, forget his promises. We are a forgetful people when it comes to God's goodness, when it comes to his promises and his commands, because we quickly forget those things that aren't an important part of our everyday lives. Those things that just pass through as information, they take up no valued real estate whatsoever in our hearts, in the way that we think, in the way that we live. And God's promises and his commands have become little more than common textbook information to us. And we forget, because it's just info. And we've become very good students of his word. I mean, let's look at how we approach his word. We read, we forget, we highlight, we forget. We take fantastic notes. Some of us collect volumes of notes from sermons and Bible study year after year. But we forget. Because it's like studying for a test. It looks really, really great on paper, but when it's information and God's word does not actually take root in our heart, it's not real. It's not real. And I would go as far as to say, up to this point, we have no idea about the reality of our salvation, the reality of who God is, who he has called us to, because if we really understood the victory we have in Christ, you wouldn't have to cajole me to praise. You wouldn't have to coax me to bless his name if I really understood. God's word is not a boring history lesson. It is not just a list of commandments. It's not a list of rules. God's word is alive. It is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing heart and soul, bone and marrow. God's word breathes of his nature, of his character. And when we approach it as just stuff that we have to read and stuff that we have to remember and scripture we have to memorize and what's the first principle and oh my God, I forget. And when we think about it that way, all it is information. And it passes through in one ear, out the other, in one year, out the other, and it never takes root in our heart. And we don't praise him because it's not real. Let's look at how Israel forgot. Psalm 106. We will go back to 103. But Psalm 106 tells about the Exodus and how God used Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And it tells of all of God's mighty works and what he has done and how he protected them. And I want to focus on a few key verses. 106 verses 7 through 8. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. Fast forward to verse 13. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel. 19. At Horeb, we're talking about Mount Sinai, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glory for an image of a bull, which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them and who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. This psalm continues with a litany of the things that God has done for his people and how they constantly rebelled and rejected and disobeyed him and forgot him. He used Moses to lead them out of Egypt. They grumbled at the Red Sea. Would you bring us out here to die? He parted the Red Sea right before their very eyes and destroyed every single Egyptian that pursued them and brought them through to the other side. And then they grumbled because they didn't have water. And then they complained and they forgot. Time after time after time, he provided food. He provided water. He healed them. He kept them safe. He protected them. He led them in the desert into the promised land. And time after time, they constantly forgot and grumbled and complained because they're looking at what I don't have and what I can't do and what you didn't give me. They're looking at all these other things. I'd like to take a moment to actually remind you that in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. You don't have to turn there, but I will read it to you. It says, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." 40 years he was in front of them. 40 years he didn't leave. He wasn't hidden. He wasn't obscure. He wasn't waiting in the wings to see, well, let's just see what they do. God was right smack in front of his people. And they forgot him. He was right there in their faces, their ever-present help. And they forgot him. And we do the same thing today. Forgetting what God has done causes you to lose focus. You begin to mingle with the enemy that he has called you to overcome and destroy. You begin to worship their gods. Other things become more important to you. Your schedule, your paycheck, your kids, your time, your things, your needs. God is right in front of you. He's right here. He is a person. The Word who took on flesh and dwelt among us. He's here. But we don't see him. We act like he's so far away, but he's right here. Because we're looking at this, or we're looking at this, or we're looking at this. And, but God, why did you do this? And I don't understand. And how come I can't? He's right here. Now I can't see. Because my eyes are tearing up. Let's talk about vision. When we forget what God has done, we compromise. We don't do what he's told us to do. Because we're not reflecting on what he's told us to do. We're doing what we think is most important. Yeah, God, I know, but we make decisions without his counsel. We're surrounded by the consequences. We're surrounded by giants. We're surrounded by enemies. And then we go, God, where are you? I'm right here. I'm right here. But we forget, because we are a forgetful people when it comes to God's word and his promises and what he has done. Pastor did such an excellent job identifying those giants that impair our vision and how they scheme to get us to either refuse to change or get caught up in our problems or even be overwhelmed by discouragement or fear or failure. But there are choices that we make. The enemy influences those choices, and those giants are very real. But they're choices that you make because you're looking at everything else except the God right in front of you. And Gomez even illustrated, can I call you Gomez? Is that okay? Gomez even illustrated how these giants actually work together to trip us up. And he also demonstrated how we've got to be active participants in our own life. Are you going to walk through the narrow door or not? Are you going to choose to just surrender and live the life of the kingdom that God has called you to? Or are you going to just walk around the wide end of the funnel called Kadesh Barnea with God right in front of you the whole time, but you're going, but this giant, but this, but God, I don't have this. He's right there. That's the only reason I needed your funnel. I am telling you, you can't live a life devoted to God. You can't live a life that is completely surrendered if you're staring at the door, if you're staring at the giants. You've got to look at him. You've got to turn your eyes and look at the God who saved you. You've got to turn your face and gaze upon everything that he's done for you and everything that he is and everything that he has called you to. And you are going to find that in his word. And his word is not a textbook. Fixing your eyes on anything other than God will cause you to forget all about his goodness. And what we need to understand is the thing we pay the most attention to becomes magnified, intensely greater, the biggest thing in our lives. Everything else just fades into the background. So God, who is right in front of you, I don't know why I'm doing this, but right in front of you, your ever-present help is not bigger than the giants, because your focus is on the giants. And God fades right into the background. There is no one greater than him. There is no one higher than him. There is no one more able than him. There is no giant that he hasn't defeated. He says, fear not, because I have overcome the world. The truth is, 1 John 4 tells us that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. The truth is, the truth that you know will set you free. And if the truth that you know doesn't exist because it's not real and hasn't taken on your flesh and taken on your heart, then all you have is a bunch of notes. And we think that we can walk around and put God's presence and his promises into our little backpack of travel kit, like a novelty item. And when we come up against these giants, we feel like we can just, you know, pull out his word and defeat him. But all we have is notes. It's not real. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Because if you're not looking at the Lord, you'll be defeated and deceived every time. But when your focus is on God, and you magnify him, and you stare at him, and you take in his word, and you make it a part of your life, and you grab a hold of it, there is no giant that can come up against you that isn't already defeated. Maybe you're surrounded. Who cares? God is greater. He is with you. Magnify him. Open your mouth and praise. So the enemy is hot on your heels. Who cares? God is bigger. He is greater. Magnify him. Open your mouth and praise. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Open your mouth and praise. You have to know that God is greater. You have to know that God is stronger. You have to know that he is the king. You have to know that there is nothing that Jesus didn't defeat and destroy on the cross. You have to know that. But if all you have is information, you don't know it at all. We don't praise him because we focus on everything else, but we are called to remember. Remember his kindness that draws you to your knees. Remember his blood that was shed for you so that you could live. Remember how he saved you. Remember his mighty works. Remember who he is. This isn't a what has God done for me lately and that's why I'm going to praise him. No, remember. Remember from the beginning of time to the Exodus, to the nativity, to the cross, from the beginning to the end. He is the God who will not be moved. He is never shaken. Remember. Because when you remember and you reflect on his goodness and his word, that's when it becomes alive to you. Now we'll turn to Psalm 103. All throughout the Psalms, there are 150 Psalms, not all of them written by King David, but constantly throughout the Psalms, King David had to remind himself, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Encourage himself in his faith, because there were times where he was surrounded by enemies trying to take the throne, surrounded by people trying to take his life, his own family. There will be times when you are surrounded. What are you going to look at? So Psalm 103, 1 through 18, we're going to read it. This is King David speaking. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he begins to list them. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your mouth is renewed like the eagle's, your youth. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. He will not harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves. or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how they are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more, but from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. When you begin to recount the ways that God has blessed you just in the past week alone, that should provoke such a gratefulness in your heart and cause praise to arise. When you think about his love and what he has done for you, just from the time you woke up this morning, that should awaken such a joy within you, because he is with you and he is for you. And that should cause this praise to overflow. When you dig into his word and you actually allow his character and his nature and this love story that will stop at nothing to have oneness with you actually unfold and make itself real in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when his word is alive in the very core of who you are and whose you are, praise has to come out. It just flows naturally. And out of the heart flow the issues of life. So the question is, what are you filling your heart with? What are you focusing on? Because if his word is alive, and if every word that comes out of God's mouth is alive, then that should be what consumes our hearts. That should be what our hearts are filled with. Psalm 119, 15 and 16, David says, I will study your commands and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your principles and forget not your word. James goes on to tell us that the ones who forget God's word are the ones who are hearers only. The ones who forget God's word are the ones who don't do what he says. The ones who forget God's word are the ones who take everything that he says as information. The ones who forget God's word are the people who do their homework, show up to Bible study, even show up to discipleship and have all the answers on paper, but it's not real in their lives. The ones who forget God's word are the ones who walk away from the mirror and completely forget what they look like, because they're not staring intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Because if you were, you would be so gripped with the reality of God's presence in your life. If you were staring intently into his word, then you would be so overwhelmed by his kindness, by his love, by his faithfulness. He's right here, and he is a person. Don't talk to him like he's not in the room. Don't talk to him like he doesn't hear you. Don't talk to him like he's 1,000 miles away. You've moved. We have moved. He has not. Psalm 104 says that the trees of the Lord are well watered. Who are the trees? It's us. We are the trees. Well watered. What does that mean? Ephesians 5 says that we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. His trees are well watered. If you are not, you will die. You skipped another paragraph, but that's okay. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you a well-watered tree? Are you being renewed by the Word of God? Understand, I'm not asking if you read the Bible. I'm not asking you if you show up to discipleship. I'm not asking you if you show up to church on Sunday. I'm asking you if your life is actually being transformed. Because for your mind to be renewed, it requires a complete overhaul of the way you think. You cannot add what God says to what you already believe. You can't add what He says to how you already think and think it's going to mesh. Rip it out. Make the exchange His thoughts for your thoughts. His ways for your ways. Because I promise you, when His Word is alive and real in your life and real in your heart, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, your mind will be so renewed and you will begin to think the way that God thinks and you will behold His beauty and you will see His glory and you will not be the same. You will not be the same. And you won't be able to withhold His praise. You won't be able to hold on to it. You won't be able to contain yourself because out of the heart flow the issues of life. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So let your heart be consumed by the life of His Word, and praise will overflow. And you know what is so cool? That's where God lives. That's where He dwells. He inhabits, as is enthroned upon the praises of His people. He lives there. He makes His presence known as we lift Him up. He manifests His presence as we lift high the name of Jesus. That's where He dwells. He reveals Himself through His Word, through the gifts that He's given. Did you see the visions and did you hear the words that were coming forth today? It's because God is speaking to the hearts of His people. And we want to hear what He has to say. We don't just want to hear Him, we want to see Him. We just don't want to just see Him. We want to be right there in His face, at His feet, in His throne room. We want to hear His breath. We want to feel His breath breathe upon that fire in our hearts. Have your mind renewed. And allow that praise to come forth because He is worthy. I keep doing this because He just shows me like this overflow. As you reflect on what He comes, as you reflect on what he does, and as revelation comes, you got to write it down. You got to write it down. Those things that He has spoken over you, those words that He has given you, those things that He has revealed very personally to you. Journal your time with the Lord. And there's a big difference between that and just taking notes. Because the things that you journal, the things that He has showed you, it's that very real, grip your heart, testimony, it is written kind of stuff. And it is personal. And it doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what comes up against you. You can't take away the things that God has done in your life and that are so a part of you. Because there's going to come a time where the very foundation of everything that you believe and everything that you are will be shaken. Things will feel like they are falling apart. Things will feel like they're unraveling. You will feel like, God, I can't hear you. God, where are you? God, I can't even see you. Things don't make sense. Pieces aren't fitting. What encouragement will you have except for the written word of God alive in your heart and the documented history of what He has done in your life in your own words? In your own words. It is written. It is written. I don't care what you do, Satan. It is written. Time stamped. Real. That is what God's word does in the hearts of people who allow it to take root. When you can recall, I have no idea where we are in time. When you can recall those things that God has done in your life, when those storms come, you will still be able to praise Him no matter what. No matter what. It doesn't matter. Because He's bigger. Because He's for me. Because He's here. Because He'll never leave me. It doesn't matter. And when you're truly convinced of this, you'll be able to praise him. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Acts 16, verses 16 through 29. The story, the reality, the history is Paul and Silas were walking out their call. They set a woman free. They cast out a demon and caused quite an uproar in the community to the point where they had them stripped and beaten and thrown in jail. Paul and Silas were bloodied and bruised and in pain and in prison. And that didn't stop them from praising, because the scripture even says that even in the middle of the night, they were lifting their prayer and their praises to God. They were singing hymns. And then, I'm going to quote the scripture, all of a sudden, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Yes. Did you hear that? Two people praised. Everyone was set free. Two people praised and lifted their voices and did not forget God's benefits. And everyone's shackles broke off. Everyone. All because they refused to allow their circumstances to trump the praise that he's worthy of. All because they refused to focus on that, because they focus on the God who's greater and the God who saved them. Everyone was set free. There is such power in your praise. There is such power in your testimony, and you don't even realize it. And the question is, how many times do you think we have missed opportunities to set people free because we refuse to open our mouths and give God glory? How many of those who are far away from God do you think could have been drawn near and shackles broken off because of the life in your testimony? It's sobering. It's sobering. How many more are you willing to sacrifice? What about your kids? That's exactly what's at stake. And back to Psalm 106, that litany of ways that Israel has rebelled against God and forgotten, it even says that the Israelites shed the innocent blood of their sons and daughters who they sacrificed. They forgot. They never trained the next generation to remember. They never trained the next generation to lift them up, because they forgot. God was preparing Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and he said, in the days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? How will you respond? How will you train the next generation to praise and honor the living God? Only with their mouths? Maybe only on Sundays? If we don't cultivate lives that are built on the foundation of who God is, on what he has done, who he says we are, and what he has called us to, we are sure to forget. And if we don't praise him, we are sure to sacrifice the next generation. Let's identify what praise is and what it is not, and then we'll wrap up. And this is, again, not an exhaustive definition. Praise is not just singing. It can be dancing, it can be shouting, clapping, playing an instrument, raising your hand, stomping your feet, all to elevate God's glory. The desire behind praise is to lift the name of Jesus higher and make his greatness bigger than anything else. And that has everything to do with our perspective of God, which calls us to forget not his benefits. We've seen that praise is an overflow of gratitude and thanksgiving. Praise is not a feeling. It is not something that we wait for the Holy Spirit's leading on. It is an act of your will. Praise chooses to brag on God by declaring the awesome things that he has done. Praise is how we should enter into God's presence. Praise is not a goal we work up to. Praise is not me coming up with a microphone on Sunday morning and say, okay, let's bow our heads. That is not praise. That's how we should enter into God's presence. Praise is what rushes out of you in response to God's love for you. All you have to do is delight in him and open your mouth. All you have to do is forget not his benefits and open your mouth. All you have to do is reflect on his goodness. But praise is not something that we just do on Sunday, because Sunday morning should be an overflow of that life of praise throughout the week. Sunday morning is when we come together to lift his name even higher. Higher than I can lift by myself. We as a body come to celebrate and lift him even higher and higher and higher. And we magnify him, and he becomes greater and greater and bigger. And our eyes are fixed on him. And he comes and he dwells. That's what Sunday is. We have been created to worship God with the multitudes in heaven. We were born for corporate worship. And we haven't even experienced corporate worship yet. We will. We will. All creation sings God's praise. You watch how the trees blow in the wind and how the breath of God just moves on the water. You watch how the grass can't keep still. You listen to the birds. All creation sings God's praise. You're just not tuned into it. You're not tuned into the frequency of his voice and the life that is there. And that's why we don't praise. If we come here on Sunday dry and empty, I need the worship team to encourage us and remind us of God's goodness and of his faithfulness, it's evident that we need to encourage ourselves in our faith. Because if we don't come with overflowing praise, how will the world know that God is with us? Because people will not be set free, because we come in bondage. We come shackled. Forget not his benefits. If you're not sure where to start to reflect on his goodness, any of the Psalms can take you there. Even if you just read Isaiah 53, you will catch a small glimpse of the suffering that Jesus endured for you that will cause your heart to explode with gratitude. I'm not even talking about worship. I'm talking about gratefulness. All of the Gospels vividly recount the life of our Messiah, each from a different perspective. Your perspective of God has everything to do with praise. Everything to do with praise. So why do I praise him? Because he's worthy. Because he took my punishment on the cross. And he laid down his life so that I could live. And now I can never be separated from the Father. Because his blood that was shed has broken every chain that once held me captive, and now I'm free. Because I am no longer bound by sin and death. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am free. And I am not subject to the desires of my flesh. I am more than a conqueror, and I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be continuously in my mouth. No matter what happens, no matter what I feel, regardless of what surrounds me, I will praise him and I will fix my eyes on him, because he is the King who reigns. He is my victory. He is my shelter and he is my strong tower. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything. Will you choose to fix your eyes on your help? Will you choose to focus on the God who is right in front of you, who has never left you? He is greater than those giants. He is greater than what surrounds you. Will you pursue him and ask him to open your eyes so that you would see his greatness? And let praise arise. Because that is the starting point of entering into his throne room. That is the starting point. And that is where we want for his glory to dwell and stay here and remain here. But it starts with our personal lives. Will you choose to remember?